Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So that's the possible future of the court, but let's hear a little bit about Antonin Scalia's legacy. Robert George is a professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University. He hosted several events with Justice Scalia at the school, and Professor, you considered him a friend.
Oh, yes, we were good friends, okay. And he visited frequently at Princeton. I took my students down for visits to the Supreme Court. He hosted us for oral arguments, met with the students privately. I also knew him and his wife, Maureen, and their family quite well.
Well, then our condolences.
Well, thank you.
And you also were admirer of his decision. So let's talk to you about that. We've been hearing about his acerbic wit, his strict reading of the Constitution. He was a textualist and an originalist. What does that mean to you? What will he be remembered for?
Well, originalism is his legacy. It's the idea that the Constitution is the text. Things should not be imported into the text that are not there. And that the judge in interpreting the text should be guided by the original understanding of the words on the page. That is, the words as they were understood by the public, by the people who ratified those words, making them part of the fundamental law of the land.
Give us a sense of, again, we're talking legacy, give us a sense of some of his decisions where he held fast to that originalist thinking.
Yes. Well, famously, of course, he is a critic of Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade, the abortion decision that created a legal right to abortion across all 50 states, Scalia regarded it as an abomination, not because he was pro-life, although he was certainly pro-life, but rather because he believed that what the court had done in this case is simply read into the Constitution something that was not there, thus depriving the people, the democratically constituted people, of their authority under the Constitution to decide what the law would be. Now, the very same Justice Scalia, applying the very same principles, ruled that the burning of the American flag constitutes protected speech under the First Amendment and therefore may not be criminalized. Mm. Now, Scalia certainly opposed the burning of the American flag. He was a fierce patriot, and I suspect that he would have had no sympathy whatsoever. In fact, I can tell you for sure he had no sympathy whatsoever for radicals, be they of the right or the left, who would do something like burn the American flag. And yet he felt that the constitutional principle of free speech, as historically understood, as originally understood, the principle as originally understood, forbade states or the national government from prohibiting the burning of the flag. So he was willing to follow the logic of his originalism wherever it led. He famously said that if a judge does not sometimes hand down rulings that go contrary to his own political judgments, then the judges are not actually being faithful to the Constitution.
People on both sides of the aisle are talking about the brilliance of his writing. I saw tweets go out yesterday. It said something like, "Dear Justice Scalia, thank you for making law school far more entertaining than it would have been. Love every law student ever," just because of his writing. But he also used language that I'm not sure had previously been used as much in the court. He referred to one of Sandra Day O'Connor's decisions or opinions as totally perverse, not to be believed. He wrote of one of Justice Kennedy's, it was psychology practiced by amateurs and incoherent. And it was said that because of that, we know he had great friendships on the court, but he according to Bruce Allen Murphy, who's written a book on Scalia, he couldn't get a majority for his views from that point on because it was so insulting. Your thoughts on his tactics?
Well, I wouldn't say they were tactics. It was, if I can refer to him by the name his friends used, it was Nino being Nino. Mm. I don't think he had an alternative. He could not be anyone other than himself. And there was a certain irascibility about him. There's no question about that. And certainly an insistence on speaking his mind. But despite his rough and tumble play with his fellow justices, he was able to maintain very good friendships. Indeed, his closest friend was the member of the court ideologically furthest from him, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Mm-hmm. They were old and dear friends going all the way back to when they served together on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit before they went on to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're hearing quite a bit about how they vacationed together and these friendships, despite having huge differing opinions. Well, but sometimes your students who came to these events that you hosted weren't as forgiving of some of Justice Scalia's language. This was in response to one of Scalia's dissents on a gay rights case, and he had written, I thought that one could consider, this is Scalia, I thought that one could consider certain conduct reprehensible, murder, for example, or polygamy or cruelty to animals, and could exhibit even animus towards such contact. Surely that is the only sort of animus at issue here, moral disapproval of homosexual conduct. And you know, one of your students got up and thought, well, you tell us the story. He thought he was comparing those things, murder, cruelty to animals, to homosexuality.
What Scalia was doing was pointing out that an objection to conduct need not reflect animus against the person who engages in the conduct. It's a simple idea. It's also true. It has the great advantage of being true. But sometimes, unless you looked very closely or were charitable in reading him, people would find what he said offensive.
Well, the student said, Justice Scalia, I'm gay, and as somebody who's gay, I find these comparisons extraordinarily offensive. And in response, I have the quote here, Scalia said, if we can't have moral feelings against homosexuality, can we have it against murder? Can we have it against these other things? Of course we can. And so, but some people might still find that offensive. That they would still see that as a comparison.
Yeah, and that particular student did. I think he was wrong, too. He might think that I was wrong to think that he was wrong about that. He certainly thought that Scalia was wrong. But we really value our students speaking up, and I'm glad that he didn't feel intimidated. He felt entirely open. And Scalia encouraged that, by the way. He not only would argue aggressively himself, he would have no objection to people arguing aggressively back toward him as this student did. I thought it was just a wonderful moment.
A big presence. You will miss him.
Big personality. Big personality.
That's Robert George, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton and a friend of the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Professor George, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Robin.